The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples: if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Perhaps sometimes, maybe, some one of us might think that, oh, if we just say, "I'm Catholic," or "I'm Christian," or whatever, that will identify us as a follower of Jesus. But it doesn't. Loving one another as our Lord has loved us is what identifies us and should identify us immediately. There should be a stark contrast with our love over against the love that our Lord would give to us. Sometimes that's reflected in our motivation for why we do things, to congratulate ourselves maybe that we have some love and we try to share that love with others, but in our own way, with our own motivation, maybe to put ourselves forward or be noticed or whatever it is. So an example, I think I might have told you this story some years ago. Names will be changed to protect the innocent or the guilty, depending. So this was in a tiny, tiny parish in the most remote part of Pennsylvania. There's a lot of remote parts in Pennsylvania, so. One parish there. It was a Glen Mary father. He left the Glen Marys and he became a diocesan priest there. Good fellow, really a saintly fellow. He would have adoration going on and he would have pilgrimages to Fatima. And when he went there, there were zero Catholics. And he had built up a parish, just like here, really. Anyway, this younger fellow, I say young because I'm really old, but he was like 40, 45 at the time, much older than me. And he was, challenged somehow, but he did everything in the parish, all the fix-it stuff, all the groundskeeping, all the keep everything in order, keep the church in order. He's a wonderful volunteer. And the pastor allowed him to have a room there at the rectory, and he would work in the parish on his off days. The other days he would spend at the, a mental health clinic, doing projects there. I think he had a bit of PTSD going on. whatever he had suffered before. He was kind of looking for affirmation. And, you know, I can point out that he's a little different and say that he's challenged, but this applies absolutely to all of us. So don't think this is a story about somebody else. This is about all of us. So he was doing stuff in the parish, and people would ask him, "Oh, well, what are you doing, James?" And James would say, whatever it was, it didn't matter how small it was, he was just tightening a screw on something or whatever. He would go into the mechanics and physics and the kind of wood and the importance of the project and the whole history of what that was there and how desperately important this was for the region. Like, and it would just be a little turn of the screw. And he would just, you know, every time. It would be this long story about the whole thing. And if he was going anywhere, he had this old kind of jalopy car, and people would be amazed that he was even in it. And, you know, he'd only be going, like, across the street or to the next town, maybe just a little bit away, to pick up whatever, a light bulb or, you know, whatever it was. And where are you going, James? And it would be this 80 days around the world type of, you know, experience that you would be described to in return. And this was going on for years. Okay, and that's cute and all of that. And we're all kind of like that, you know, draw attention. And well, okay. One day, he figured out that this wasn't enough. So he wanted some thanks for all that he was doing. And the priest there, mind you, what a saint he is. Goodness gracious. He was so persecuted by the ultra filthy liberal diocese where he was. He was so good. He was so faithful to the church. Anyway, that priest was just kind of very straightforward about things because maybe he was assuming something about, not just about James, but about all of us and what our motivation is. And so he didn't thank James very much. He more figured that they were kind of a team working together. And so you're not always constantly thanking each other. You're just a team. You're just, this is how you live. Anyway, the older priest, he was older now. So he had a kind of, I don't know what they call it when your legs get huge, like elephantitis or something like that. And he had his feet up at night in this hospital bed. And it was one of these wind up things, and the feet were like straight up. And so they would drain a little bit during the night. And but that kind of put him at a disadvantage because he's, you know, how do you get out of that position easily? Anyway, James goes into his room at night and goes up to his bed, and James has a big butcher knife. And he's got it right above him because, you know, the priest should have been thanking him more for what he was doing in the parish. And the priest woke up and he sees the knife and he just calmly starts to say his act of contrition. And remember that when you're in dire trouble, say your act of contrition, right? Okay. Somehow, he got James to not do this. And he told him about how instead of James working for him, which is always going to be disappointing, We can't give thanks to somebody as we should. We have all of our failures and, you know, how can we even know how to guide somebody along? This is, whatever we do, it's the guardian angels and our Lord who are working with people, and we're just kind of there in our Lord's grace. But what can we really do? We're so bad at really being thankful and getting along. But what he said was, don't work for me at all, or anybody, or the next priest, don't work for him either. Work for our Lord. Everything you do, do for him. And if you do something for me, do it because I'm the least of the brethren. But you're still working for the Lord. And that clicked for him. That just went right in. He put the knife down and that was the end of it. The priest kept him there. There was no change in anything. Right? And that guy, the younger fellow, he joined a religious order. And I'm sure he was so on his way to being a saint the last time I spoke with him, because his motivation now was good. He's going to do stuff. So back to him doing stuff or going somewhere. After that moment, this is so cool. Hey, James, what are you doing? No matter what it was, even if it really was important and complicated, he would just say, oh, I'm working for the Lord. Or if he's getting in his old jalopy to go somewhere, hey, James, where are you going? I hope I'm going to heaven. And that takes a whole burden off of us. You know what the burden is, and it's tricky now. What our Lord has here, but then he expands upon it. But this is where when you take a text out of context, it's pretext. The first thing he says out of context is, love one another. That's not good enough. And so he explains it immediately. We would take the love one another the way James was, first of all, looking for affirmation, looking for congratulation, looking to be seen by others. And we do that all the time. If we've ever had donor fatigue, that's what we're doing. Love one another until, well, people just aren't thanking me enough and people should recognize me more. I'm getting bored of this. I'm not going to give anymore. And it's donor fatigue. So there's all sort of ways to recognize this in our lives. But the easiest way is the question, am I walking with the Lord? Am I working for the Lord? Is what I'm doing done for the Lord? Is where I'm going, hopefully, to heaven? So that, you know, Jesus says, be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. Pray always. It's because, you know, we say, oh, I'm way too weak for that. What the heck is that? I can't be perfect. I can't pray always. It's His love within us, and it's a matter of love. And you can always walk and do stuff with a bond of love with someone, especially God, especially if this is His love and His presence within us. Then we're doing this for Him. And hopefully we're on our way to heaven. It wipes out all of our false motivation, the small word A-S, as. Love one another. This is his explanation, Jesus now, of love one another. It's love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Did he count the cost? Did he say, I'll be patient with you until I'm tired of you? He took our rubbish right to death. The whole thing. And then he had, with that, the right in his own justice to have mercy on us. To create a friendship with us. To give us his love and goodness and kindness and honesty and integrity. So that, now here's the deal. This is a good exam of conscience. So that we respect one another. Ooh. You can think of a lot of things in society, in the mass media. What internet companies really make their money on, for instance. No respect for one another. All for me. And then families fall apart and, you know. Anyway, our Lord conquers. He has conquered. It's his love, and God is love. So that love, yeah, more powerful than our weakness, more powerful than our rebellion, ooh, that we're so weak. Our Lord can do it, and he does do it. And then we start to say, when somebody asks us about something, ooh, what are you doing? Working for the Lord. Where are you going? Hopefully to heaven. And you say that to people, they might laugh a little bit, maybe a little bit nervously, because it's like, wow, I wish I knew more about that. How do we do that? How do I get there? The thing is, our Lord's statements about direction, about how to get there, are really very short. Love one another as I have loved you. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. If you love me, keep the commandments. All these short things. But what they all boil down to easily right away is, do we have his love within us or do we have ours? If it's love one another, that we can make of that whatever we want. We can manipulate those words to just, whoa, whoa. Ugh. That's French, by the way. Okay. Or it's love one another as I have loved you. And we immediately see how he's loved us, just right to the end. And then he rose from the dead. And he means to bring us to life. That's why he did this, not to just show us his love or something, to instill his love and life and goodness and kindness within us and have that carry us right to heaven. Where are you going, dear Lord? You know the way. You are the way. Bring us with yourself.